only turn every corner. So yeah, so sometimes as a Christian walking your Christian life out, there isn't always the rosy, you know, it's like that song, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. You remember that one?
Yes.
It's like, so there's the hard and there's the good in the Christian walk. And sometimes when you're in the hard place, it's a struggle because you drop back into the natural ways and you can't see what God is actually showing you around you. Because it's so easy to get so locked down in your emotions and what you see going on around you that you forget to take that ability and look to Him, the author, the rock of your salvation, your strong tower, your fortress, and say, God, what is really going on here? Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we want to try and look at this morning. How do we, as believers, walk through a hard season? Which necessarily isn't a hard season, but it's a season that we're in, and we need to see where Jesus is in the midst of that season. Because seeing Him will lead us out. Yeah? So it's not all negative. There's great that comes out of this. But we need to change our mindsets to be more like Christ so that we actually look for Him in the midst of a storm. We look for Him in the boat as He's walking past. Because the storm was there, but He was still there. He was walking by. And the disciples followed Him and said, help. So there's always help available because He is only a prayer away when we need Him most. So God is good. All of the time. So in the English dictionary, the word abundance actually equates to a very large quantity of something. Who wants a very large quantity of something? You ever see a lorry come to your house and they come with this load of sand and it all looks nice and clean and pristine on the lorry and then all of a sudden they tilt and it hits a certain point and whoosh, you have this mass of sand all over your driveway. And it's just like that. There's an abundance that God comes with in seasons of our life that actually just get endowed on us. And it's like we're standing in the driveway and we get covered in a load of sand because He's so much. There's so much in Scripture that He relates to the abundance of God, like the sand of the seas. And we know that the sand of the seas, I mean, even if you take a handful, they say there's something like 10,000 grains or something of sand in your hand at that time, possibly more, depending on the size of your hands. Possibly less if you're a lady and have nice, delicate hands. But, you know, that's the sort of thing. God wants to pour goodness onto us. He's got goodness for us. And if you look at the objective, where you say abundant rather than abundance, because abundant is what you are then after the abundance has come. So the meaning of abundant is actually the existence or available in large quantities. It's plentiful. So when you get, we're going to go through a few scriptures here, because I want to, before I go into the message this morning, I want to underline some of the scriptures that relate to abundance or the word abundant in the Bible. And as I read them to you, you're going to actually see a lot clearer what we're talking about or what I'm talking about this morning. Amen? Amen. So in Genesis 27, and verse 28, you've got the account of Isaac giving out what he thought was his birthright anointing to his son Esau, but it turned out it was Jacob taking it in disguise. But in the midst of that blessing, I think it's important that you look at the verse, and says, now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. So this was a father's blessing on a son, even though it was the wrong son, but this would have, whether it was Esau or Jacob, he would have been praying the same thing over his son, that God would bring an abundance into his life. Amen? And then if you go to Genesis 41:49, it says, this is Joseph stored up all the grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. That was Genesis 41:49. So you see the reference here. God orchestrated Joseph to be in the nation of Egypt, high up, second to the Pharaoh, so that he was over all the supply in the land. And then when he knew there was a famine coming, so he had stored up. But it got to the point that the abundance of God was so much that he gave up counting it because there was such an increase. Why was there such an increase? Because God had an ulterior motive, because he wanted to have provision in Egypt for the children of Israel. So there had to be a huge supply so that Egypt wouldn't think, well, this is ours, this needs to do us. We have to just keep what we've got because it may not last. But the abundance that came was so much that Egypt wouldn't have had a problem saying, well, okay, we've got excess here, let's give some away. Do you see how God works in the process? When he comes with abundance, he comes with a plentiful supply. Now, take a perspective on this, and if you go into 1 Chronicles 29 and 16, it says there, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is yours. So that the children of Israel brought into a perspective that even though they had brought a lot of wealth and their stuff in to build the house of the Lord, they were still saying, Lord, but this was yours in the first place. All we're doing is bringing it in to help fulfill the task. Because whether we're here or not, this is still yours. You own all this. Our breath is ours. So everything we have belongs to you anyway. So that brings it slightly into perspective about the abundance of the Lord and how we can use it. Psalm 36 and verse 8, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. 36 verse 8. So you've got this, God's talking about this river of delight that he's got, which brings abundance. So, I mean, if a river's over, because it speaks in some of the other scriptures, that the river that the Lord supplied overflowed his banks. So that's an abundance. If it's just trapped in the normal gully of a river bed, then it's an okay thing. But when it breaks the banks of the river, that's abundance. And God's speaking about his river of abundance coming. And then Psalm 78, verse 25. It says there that man did eat the bread of angels. Have you read that one before? He sent them food in abundance. Take a wee look at that one if you've got your Bibles with you today. Because it's quite an interesting part in this. Yeah, and if you go back to verse 15 in that chapter, it says he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink, like the depths of the ocean depths, a huge supply, an abundance that is more than what you actually need. And then if you go through to verse 24, he says he rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. So the manna that they received was actually, the Lord saying it actually came from angels. Now, you could take that to another level, well, there's food in heaven, because if the angels had food, they must have had it to eat it. But they shared it with us. So that means there'll be lamb and, you know, all that sort of stuff on the table. Sharon's from the line of scripture.
Carrots and hummus.
There'll be carrots and hummus for those who want carrots and hummus. But I'm sure there'll be other stuff there as well. So it's good. So out of the abundance, God actually provided for his people in the wilderness when they were walking through. Isaiah 55 verse 2, why do you spend money on what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Now there's a key. Listen to me. So you listen to the Lord, not to the voices around you or what you see around you, and out of that, he will delight. You can delight yourself in abundance, because there's always provision for God's people. There's always provision for God's people. And then Jeremiah 31:14, I will fill the soul of the priests. Who are priests called today in the Bible terms, New Testament terms? We're called a holy priesthood, a royal nation. So you're a priest. So this is for you. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance. So that's in here. That's your heart. That's your soul. You're going to get filled with abundance from God. And my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. It's a declaration. It's something he has verbally spoken out that he does not take back. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, oh, where'd that verse come in for? But it's there. Just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So you've got the two sides of the coin there working together. Yes, there'll be hard times, but in the midst of the hard times, there is an abundance that God is providing for you. You as a child will not go without, because he said, I've never seen my children begging bread. Yeah. That's a promise to us as his children. So no matter how dark or how bleak it looks, there is always provision one breath away. Amen? Amen. So on the provision for his people, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. Why do you need an abundance? You go back to Joseph. There was that abundance that he could afford to give away. We are the carriers of the kingdom of heaven. We are gifted with abundance in our DNA. And we get it because as you freely have received, you can freely give. So there's never a season in your life where you think, or should be thinking, I am so squeaky tight here, I can't afford to. I see, you know, the neighbor down the street, I see them coming back with one bag of shopping. And yet, in weeks past, I've seen them coming back with four. Maybe they're in need. Maybe I should give them something to eat. So there's always an abundance in you. And even if you have nothing, you can still give something. It may be small, but if your heart is connecting with the abundance of God, then you can give. Amen? Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to get along with the humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. There you have the balance. There's times of prosperity, and there's times of abundance, and there's also what feels like times of lack. But yet in the midst of it, God is still maneuvering and working you to the destiny and the purpose he has over your life. I once, years ago, had the privilege of sitting in a meeting where the CEO of the main company in the UK that imports Mitsubishi and Daihatsu into the UK from Japan. And a Christian guy, he flew in for the meeting in his personal jet with his personal pilot and his two personal bodyguards. Now God had blessed this man over and above with an abundance that he had at his hands. And he knew, you get to the point where you get so much, you know it's not all for you. You know that it's part of that is to give away. And this man would give away, I think it was, he earned something like £20,000 then. Let's go back about 20 years ago. £20,000 per hour or per day?
Per hour.
Per hour, I think it was, from his company. And he gave away a huge amount of tithe out of that. And at that point, he was helping build a £4 or 5 million project in India, which would have the ability and capacity to broadcast scripture and readings in China over radio waves. So out of his abundance, he was able to give to some of the bigger projects in the world. So God places you, like Joseph, in scenarios where you have an abundance in your life. So not all abundance is wrong, but if you've got a lot in your life, then you need to think, well, where can I sow this? Where can I give? And help others who are less fortunate. So, Psalm 37, verse 11, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Can I hear an amen? And Psalm 78, verse 15, he split the rocks in the wilderness and give them an abundant drink like the ocean depths. So a vast supply. Psalm 86 verse 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Psalm 86 verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. And that scripture here is Psalm 145, verse 7. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of all your righteousness. So there's something in that, that when you get abundantly blessed, there's an excitement in you because you've been blessed, you've got an abundance that makes you excited about what God has done for you. It's harder when you're in the time of lack to actually stir up your spirit enough to actually get a, thanks. Abundance. No. But there's something about when the abundance comes, when God flips that and your life walks into an abundant season, that you're excited because you know you've got more than enough. And that's a good place to be, and that's where we would wish all of us would be there all the time. But there are the seasons where it's not like that, and you need to be aware of that, and how you focus your eyes, where you place your eyes, and what do you look upon in the time when it seems like your lights are about to go out. So with that in mind, I want us to take a look at 1 Kings. And we'll go to chapter 17. So John 10:10, we said about it earlier. They said, the thief can't cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So the scripture tells us that we should be abundantly blessed. So in the midst of when the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, if you see only the thief and the killer and the destroyer, your eyes are not focused on the spiritual realm where God dwells around you. Because he is your rock, he is your protector. You need to find him in the face of the storm, in the place where the enemy is coming in to take you out. You need to flip what the world and how you live in the worldly sense comes around you and flip it to see what heaven is producing around you at that time. And gaze upon that. Gaze upon what is good. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, his face. Because in doing that, you attune your heart and you attune your spirit to the ways of your Father. And out of that will come goodness and will come abundance. So what do you see is important in scenarios like this. Abundance means dense, thick, abounding, crammed, full, jam-packed, chock full. There's so many words that describe the word abundance. So, but all of it is good, because when you've got it, you know you've got it. If you won the lottery, like a few weeks ago, I think it was 143 million or 130 million, what would you do with that amount of money if you were the winner, the sole winner of that amount of money? Would you call that an abundance? Yeah. But our God has got the ability to flip that onto us overnight in our own personal lives without the lottery even being there. If he can do it for Joseph because he has a plan and purpose for your life, then he can do it for you. You can become a person of abundance, but it's always with the purpose of working out God's purposes for you and for the people around you. It's never all for you. So verse 7 in First Kings 17, verse 7 is, it is, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. Then this is talking about Elijah here, bring into context. So Elijah's at this brook which dried up because there was no rain in the land. So what did the Lord do in that scenario with Elijah? He put him in a place, well, you know, basically if I stay here, this could go bad. So maybe I need to think it's time to move. And so there are some today that you find yourself in a dry season and a dryness is upon your life, and it's time for you maybe to move from where you are to go to where the Lord wants you to be, because where he wants you to be, there will be abundance there. And when provision is drying up, sometimes the Lord speaks and moves you to say, now's the time. go find the next supply. So in verse 8 it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, even in a dry season the word of the Lord will still come. Amen? When you think everything is against you and everything's around you and surrounding you, the word of the Lord will still come. Because he is faithful to his word over your life. He is faithful to fulfill the plans, purposes, and destiny that he has desired and dreamt over your life. So his word will always come in season at the right time, and it will always hit the nail on the head, because God is God and he knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? In verse 9, it says that I will arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So the Lord had spoken to him in this place that was drying up, where the brook was running out of water, the supply was going, and told him to go and travel to Zarephath in Sidon and to look for the woman, because she was going to be his provision. So God doesn't leave you in a situation or scenario without speaking movement, without leading you. He was faithful with the pillar of cloud and the fire when the children of Israel were moving. So that was a nation. He is still faithful with you as an individual. He's every bit as faithful to you as he is with a nation. Amen?
Amen.
Where he makes a commission, he will give a provision. Now there's truth in that, but I would like to add a little bit more to that and hone in a little bit. I would rather say, where the Spirit leads, he will meet the needs. Because there's some times in life when the brook's drying up and we think, well, that's a good idea. I'm going to go over here because I've heard good stories about over here. And we make a move out of natural rationale and we just make a move. We don't inquire of the Lord or wait for his word upon our lives. And sometimes that may not be where he wants us to be. So there's a principle here that if the Spirit of the living God prompts you and speaks to you and tells you, well, then you've got a good, strong ability inside you that you will know that he has spoken it to your life, he's going to fulfill it, and he's going to provide the abundance required to bring it to pass. Amen? In verse 10, so he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And verse 11, and as she was going to get it, he called after her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So not only had he asked her when she was in this area of drought and you know, she wasn't doing too good, or son wasn't doing too good, but it wasn't just her and her son, it was her household as well. It was the workers and the people that would have been with her. So there was much more than two affected by where she was at this time. So Elijah just laid on her what the Lord had promised him. So he delivered the word that he had got, saying that she would be the one that would provide for him. So he brought a challenge to her in the midst of her situation of what she could see where she was at with her son. And God brought a challenge to her whether or not she would actually reject the word of the prophet, which was the word of the Lord in those days, or whether she would receive it and act on it. And we all know that famous saying that's come out this past couple of years, slow obedience is disobedience. So you want to work when the Lord's on it, go with it quickly. And verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Would you like to be in that scenario? That all you see is your last bit you've got, and you're actually preparing, you're actually speaking death over yourself, because you can't see any way out of your scenario? And yet God is speaking clearly through the prophet, bringing a challenge to her, calling her out to see the greater picture and not just see her circumstances. Because he was going to get blessed by bringing the delivery of what God had told him, but she was having to pick up on what he was saying, that it would be truth. She actually had to make a stance, step forward, and believe that what he was delivering to her was the word of the Lord, and it would be fulfilled. Otherwise, she was stealing her last portion from her and her son before she said they would die. But the word of the Lord brought hope, because in following the word of the Lord, God said that he would supply. So verse 13, and Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." So not only did he say that there would be provision, but he actually called her to forget her and her son and put the focus on him. Bring him first. Meet the prophet's needs first before actually looking after herself. Now, if you were a mother in that scenario, that would be hard to bite into, wouldn't it? Like, are you for real? Are you serious? You'd have me and my son go without so you get something? You'd be thinking, that guy's totally selfish. Why would he put that demand on me when I just told him this is where I'm at? And yet he required of her for the Lord, because he knew that the Lord could only move once her belief was shifted to such a point that she would, regardless, she would step in her faith ability to believe that if God's telling me to do this, then it surely must be, and it will work out. Amen? Elijah was turning her eyes off the natural to look upon the spiritual, to look for God in the midst of the scenario that she was in. And verse 14, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the vine of flour shall not be used up, nor shall a jar of oil run dry, until the Lord sends rain on the earth." So he again enforced the promise of God and spoke it directly and clearly over her life. It was a word of wisdom from the Lord. He is a faithful God and can be trusted. Verse 15, "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days." At that particular point, the ball was in her court. She could have chosen to have sent him away and fed only her son and herself and a little bit of the family, and that was it. But she chose to hear the word of the Lord and to act on it, even though it was costing her out of her provision that she had. And out of her provision giving, God brought abundance. Sometimes you need to give for to release the Lord to provide for you in your life. Verse 16, "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." So her actions released God to move to bring provision for her and her son, because she listened to the word of the Lord. It was an abundance that came in a place of lack, that God's provision came on the word of the Lord that brought encouragement to a woman who was thinking, this is it, my legs are going out shortly, this will be our last meal. And yet the word of the Lord brought hope into what she seemed was a dark scenario. The word of the Lord helped her to lift her eyes up and see exactly what was going on around, and give her the key to unlock her situation and for her to step into abundance. Then God's provision is coming. But your belief has to rise in you. That faith has to rise in you for you to step out and say, okay, God. What's she got to lose? She stepped out, even though it could have cost her, but it was going to cost her anyway. What has she got to lose, except maybe a few hours? But in doing so, in taking the word of the Lord and standing on it and moving in it, releases heaven to come and break into our scenarios, break into our world as we see it in the natural, and bring heaven's provision to us, the children of the loving God. Amen. So there's three principles involved around abundance here. One is receive the word of the Lord and accept it in faith. The second is do not look at your circumstances around you, because they're not always giving you the right picture. But you can see the picture and you can believe the picture that it's telling you because you're walking in it and you're in it. But to look from the heavenly perspective is something different. Remember when Elijah was up on the top of the mountain and his servant, Gehazi, I think it was, wasn't seeing it, All he seen was the armies coming against them, surrounding them, this mighty horde. And Elijah says, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. And when he opened his eyes, he could see what was there, that the hosts of heaven's armies surrounded in a greater mass around the enemy. But yet with the natural eyes, you couldn't see it. But when his spiritual eyes were opened, he could see it. That stirred hope and faith in him, because he seen what God was up to was bigger than what you see in the natural. And that's always the case with the Father. And thirdly, the obedient, this is the key, to be obedient, to act on the word, move on, when the Lord speaks, don't be slow obedience, because that brings disobedience. When you notice the Spirit of the living God prompting you and telling you, then go with it, because it's God moving in your life. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, isn't it? Hebrews 11. So faith is something you've got to put in action. You've got to get in action to what you're hearing from the Lord. And stepping out and moving in it releases heaven to come and invade your circumstances, invade you. Got a few more scriptures out, but I think I've said enough on that. There is an abundance that God gives us and has for us in life. Now, I want to move slightly in a slightly different direction here for a little second, because God is a provider. God is an abundant giver. Amen?
Amen.
And when she was in a dark place thinking that she had her last meal and that she had no other way out but to feed her son and just say, okay, how do we cope with death? God comes up and actually brings the word of the Lord, brings freedom. So this was when we were over in Ireland. Our daughter was doing her daily reading and she felt prompted. I want to send this to Dad. I feel it's appropriate for him. So she sends through this email. And the email starts off, because it's taken from the Passion translation that says daily reading thing. And it starts off with, I hear his whisper. And it's got in brackets, move forward. So the rest of the word it came with it that day says this: the time has come for you to advance. You have remained in the place you are for long enough. You have crossed over a bridge and found the pleasant path that leads deeper into my heart. Move forward, my child. As I promised Josiah, Joshua, I promise you, every place that you set your foot upon will be yours. New territory is waiting. A calling pulls you onward. Move forward, my child, and you will see the works of your God. Faith never remains in one place. It is a movement, a dynamo, that propels you forward. Nothing can stop you when I am with you and call you forward. Now, Philippians 3, 12 to 14 is the scriptures that are surrounding this daily devotional. And it says in the Passion Translation, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing. But I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. I thought, wow, there's the word of the Lord spoken so clearly and plainly in this season that we find ourselves in as we look to move forward. And yet the Lord is still speaking because his word comes forward. Whenever you need it, he's there. In the midst of darkness that surrounds you, he turns up with a word to comfort, to encourage, and to move you forward. So God is good. He has an abundance. It may look, hey guys, it may look nothing like your wealth, but you don't need wealth to have an abundance in here. You don't need riches to have an abundance in your spirit. And God is a good God, faithful to give you abundance in every area, whether finance or whether it is peace or whatever it is you require to have an abundance in your life in this particular season. God is here to meet your needs. He is faithful, He is true, and He is your God. So why don't you stand this morning? There may be things that in you this morning that you felt the Lord has been prompting you in your spirit and in your heart as we've been speaking. And if that's so, then we're going to take a minute of silence here. And I want you just to talk to the Lord from your heart and say, Lord, I've maybe got a scenario going on in life and I just don't see a way forward. I want to ask you, Lord, what is the way? Show me your ways, Lord. Let I need you to be the actual light that lights up my footpath. I need you to be the fire that gives heat and light. I need you to be the provision that brings forth this, like the sands of the seas, the abundance that I need for the scenario I find myself in life. So let's just take a minute here before the Lord. And ask you to just take up your petition with Him. He's got ears to hear.